This is week four in a four-part sermon series looking at the story of God. And the story of God is always the story of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and their interaction with mankind. We've been using four different pictures or scenes to tell this story that gives our lives meaning and hope. And those four pictures are the Garden of Eden, the desert, the Garden of Gethsemane, and God's eternal garden. Today, the focus is on the eternal garden, on what hope God has for us. So there I was, 3 hours into the movie. The pop was empty. The popcorn was gone. I was getting a little antsy, you know, trying to hold it, to wait to go to the bathroom, but I wanted to see the end of the movie. We were getting to the last 30 minutes. When the plot resolves, when we find out what happens, how they get out, how the story ends. And that's when it happened. The DVD stopped working. Nothing but static. I was left hanging, wondering, how did it all turn out? And there's very few things that I find more frustrating than an unresolved story. A story that doesn't end, where you don't know how it turns out. It makes me unsettled. Maybe you've gone through that experience. You've been watching something on Netflix, and all of a sudden the internet connection goes, and you can't finish the episode of the movie, and that is taken off before you get around to it again. Or maybe it's the DVR that you set to record your show, and you go out, and everything's perfect. But you come home, and there was breaking news, or the sporting event lasted long, and all of a sudden it ends 10 minutes before the show ends, and so you don't find out who the killer is. You don't find out how they get out of this crazy circumstance they've gotten themselves in. Or worse yet, the program or the season ends with a cliffhanger to never be renewed. And all of a sudden, your hero is in their trouble and uncertainty for the rest of eternity. You don't know how the story ends. We've been talking about God's story for the last 3 weeks. But we know how that story ends. God doesn't leave us hanging. We may still be in the midst of it, but God tells us the ending, the new creation, the eternal garden to come. And we as Christians may wonder about dates and times, but Jesus has told us that's not for us to know. That the Father alone knows the hour and the day when Jesus will come again. But we have been told what to expect, what will happen on that last day. We've been told that it's going to be a judgment day. And for those who are in Christ, we will rise to new life. But for those who by their own choice reject Jesus and scorn his grace and his gifts and his mercy, they will rise and be cast out of the kingdom into eternal darkness, away from God for all eternity. But for those of us in Jesus, it is a day of rejoicing, a day when there will be no more tears, no more brokenness, no more illness, no more death. And thank heavens, no more politics. All those things will pass away. But we wait. See, today, we're still in that time in between when Jesus has come and defeated death in his resurrection, and that time when death will be no more, when all things will be set right, when he comes again in glory and majesty to recreate the earth. But we know the story. We know that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, a perfect Garden of Eden, and that by our sin and rebellion, we have broken that garden. We've been cast out and are now in the desolate desert. But God hasn't abandoned or forsaken us. He entered into the flesh in Jesus Christ and came near to us. He did for us what we could not do. He obeyed perfectly in the Garden of Gethsemane and all the way through the cross, defeating and reversing the effects of sin and overcoming death in our place. Now our relationship with the Father is restored. Our relationships with one another and with creation are being restored. They're going to be set right. We're being prepared for a place in the new kingdom, in the eternal garden, where we will dwell with God again, and our hearts will be made new and set right. And that's a place where we are able to drink from the river of life, where our parched souls will be satisfied, where we'll have that holy food that does not leave us wanting, as it talked about in today's text in Isaiah. And we will drink free of charge because Jesus has paid it all for us. As that suffering servant we talked about last week, Jesus has paid the price so that we can be restored and given access to that eternal garden. See, now in that eternal garden, we'll dwell with God again. We'll be with him as we were in Genesis chapter 3 when it said that Adam and Eve heard the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, as it says in Revelation 21, the dwelling of God is with man. God will dwell with his people, and he will be with them as their God. Jesus, who now sits on the throne, proclaims that he is going to make all things new, and he's in the process of making things new right now. But as we think about this picture of the eternal garden, it's easy to dismiss or miss the importance of it. Because while the eternal garden sounds great, we still live in the desert. We're still struggling. It seems like God is distant. We're wondering, and we're in the midst of the turmoil, the uncertainty, the brokenness of this life. And so sometimes it's hard to see where this story is taking us. But everyone, Christians included, are telling a story. They're telling a story that answers the question, where are we going? What comes after death? What hope is there? Not every story is coherent. Not every story is really compelling, but everyone is answering those questions. And Christians have a compelling and powerful, unique answer to those questions. See, we believe in the resurrection of the dead, that we will literally stand again in the flesh. That's what resurrection means, to stand again. And we will dwell with God in this creation, this world recreated, renewed, glorified, and perfected. We will be with him, and all things will be set right. See, that's the story of the whole of Scripture. It's what Isaiah was talking about in today's Old Testament lesson, that God would draw all nations to his mountains, that God would make all things new. As it was talked about in Corinthians in today's lesson, that the perishable would be clothed with the imperishable, that which is corruptible would be made new and set right and would become incorruptible. It's what the early part of today's liturgy, when we read Revelation, was talking about. This story, that in the end, Jesus has overcome sin, death, and Satan, and is going to set all things right. See, the picture of the eternal garden gives us hope. Because when everything is falling apart, when the world seems in chaos, when it seems like everything is out of control, it is a reminder. Jesus, the Messiah, is the King. He is Lord. He is reigning over all things now. And a day is coming when he is going to set all things right. And so we wait and we long for that day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that truth of Jesus' Lordship. As it says in Philippians chapter 2. And yet here we wait. We wait in hope. But that hope doesn't disappoint. We wait for that day. We long for that day when that new creation, when that new man is a present reality for us. We long for that truth to come. But in the meantime, as we walk these city streets, as we dwell on this earth, we get a glimpse of the new creation, of the new man in our baptism. Because that same Holy Spirit, who in the beginning was with God, the Father and the Son, who in the beginning was hovering over the waters of creation, he called forth life out of those waters to all the earth. And as Israel passed through the Red Sea, as the waters were parted, the Holy Spirit gave them new life, called them out as the chosen people of God through which God's promised Messiah would come in that Exodus story. And in your baptism, the same Holy Spirit who is over creation, who is guiding the nation of Israel through the Red Sea, gave you life. has claimed you, has made you new as you were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You are a new creation. You are given a new identity. You are the redeemed. See, we as God's people, we know God's story, and so we don't walk through the wilderness as hopeless wanderers, but we walk in the desert as those with a purpose, who know where this story has come from, who know our history, and we know where God is ultimately bringing this story through the great reversal accomplished by Jesus Christ, by his life, death, and resurrection for us. See, as God's people, we continue to walk through this story. The church continues to proclaim God's story in all of our actions, in all that we do. We give the world glimpses of that new creation, of that new man who is being recreated after the image of the second Adam, the image of Christ, who is being remade in that likeness. See, Jesus declared that you, as the baptized children of God, are salt and light. He didn't say you might be. He didn't say you could be. He said you and I are salt and light in the world. And as we go out, our lives should look different from the world around us. They should see our lives and glorify God's name. They should see the way we act. As we go out in the world, when people are concerned and they wonder what hope is there for tomorrow, how can this story end with anything good? We are the lighthouses that point people back to God's story, back to the truth, to the meaning, to the story that gives us purpose and hope. See, we remind people that they are loved by God. The proof is in Jesus Christ. We see and we know God's love. And so we also go out as ambassadors of that love. You know, we've talked about Abraham's promise the last couple weeks, how God had said that he would be a blessing to the nations. We are inheritors of that promise. So not only are we loved, but we're also sent by God into the world to bless the world, to share that love with those around us. See, each and every week, we come into worship and we go through the liturgy. Now, the word liturgy literally means the story. So every week we tell the story of God by our liturgy. We remind ourselves of these truths. And every year we go through the liturgical calendar. We have these different colored paraments and we use different readings that tell the story of God each and every year. So we go through this because every aspect of worship, every prayer, every reading, every action is meant to proclaim, enact, and sing God's story for the world to hear, for each of us to come to know and grow in being shaped by. So we tell the story of God, of God's perfection in creating the world, in creating this Garden of Eden, of God's continued sustenance for us while we were wandering in the desert, of God's divine love demonstrated as he entered into this world in Jesus Christ to perfectly obey for us, to go into Gethsemane and obey where we fell short, to die the perfect death on the cross for us, to defeat and overcome the ultimate outcome of sin, death in our place, and to give us the hope of the eternal garden which God is bringing us into. Each and every week, and in our daily lives, we're called again and again to remind one another of where we have been, of our history, of where we are right now and who we are, of what Christ has done for us, and where faith in him will lead us. See, the hope of the eternal garden does not fail, because God's mercy endures forever. His love is steadfast. He is faithful to his promises. And we have seen how far that love goes in his Son. And so as God's people, we are those who ought to live lives that are transformed by this story. See, these four pictures, this story of God in Scripture changes the way we see the world, changes the way we see other people with the kind of love that God loves us with. And so as God's people, we go as those who live in hope, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what's happening around us, because we know where this story ends, and that hope does not fail us. May this story, may this truth of what God has accomplished for us and for you keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus both now and forevermore. Amen.